Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ of the World broadcast, heard on this station every day at the same time, Monday through Friday. And yesterday's broadcast, we were looking at that episode in the New Testament where Peter and John were ready to go into the temple, and a lame man spoke to them and was begging alms, and Peter looked at him and said, "Look on us, give us your attention." He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man experienced God's miracle-working power. He rose up and he walked. In fact, he was leaping and dancing and praising God. Beloved, that authority that God gave to his disciples, to the apostles, has been given to every one of us. As I was sharing at the close of yesterday's broadcast in Mark the 16th chapter, it speaks about the power that every single believer has. In John the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 15, these are the words of Jesus. Let me read them for you. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And in the 15th chapter of John, verse 16, the word says, again Jesus speaking, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall shew you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and say not, and I say not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God." These statements that I just shared with you are the direct words of Jesus. He has given us unqualified use of his name to carry on the work of God in the earth. A few years ago, I heard someone, it was a preacher, say, we hardly hear any more messages preached about the name of Jesus. Well, you know, if we're new believers, we certainly need to learn this and understand this information. If you've walked with the Lord a long time, this may be familiar to you, but it's good to hear the truths of God's word again. That's why we can never hear, we're never going to be in a place that we've just simply absolutely mastered the word of God and we know all there is to know and we have all the revelation we could possibly receive. It's an ongoing day by day growth in grace and revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the word is it's all about Jesus. So what is Jesus telling us? He's given us an unqualified use of his name. He said, ask anything. That's pretty broad. All that God has invested in his name is ours. Let's look at some verses in detail, some really powerful, significant verses that Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. And I'm going to start reading at verse 21. "Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." That's pretty amazing, isn't it? All things are yours. Verse 22, "Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God. All things are yours. In verse 18 of that same chapter, the word says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." Well, that's referring to the word says, "Let him become a fool." How do we become a fool? By accepting God's wisdom, which the world calls foolishness. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 18 through 20, declares, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." That's why maybe before you were saved, or you may know people who don't have a born-again experience, they try reading the Bible, they just don't understand it. It just seems a complexity of contradictions. It's just they simply are not able to understand it. We have to read it in faith. And that faith only comes when we're born again. We actually become a new creature. We realize the mind of man can't lay hold of the things of God. I can remember before I was saved, I thought, well, I'm going to take this Christianity stuff really slow, and I'm just going to kind of take my time and think about it. And, you know, I discovered I came against a brick wall. I simply couldn't get there with my mind. And I finally had to come to God. And I said, "God, I don't know if you're real or not, but if you're real, make yourself real to me." That was the first prayer I ever prayed. And he heard that prayer. he said, I think I'm going to do something. And it wasn't, that started it all. And I began to be aware that God was real. He was alive, and that I was on the adventure of my life. Praise God. And those of you who accepted Jesus, it may not have been easy. There might have been a few bumps in the road, but we're hanging on, aren't we? Amen. And let me tell you, the end of the story is glorious. You know what? Sometimes I've told friends I think I'm a hopeless romantic. You know, I'm just living in the world of fairy tales. But in a sense, you know, as we read the end of the book, we really do live happily ever after. Isn't that the truth? Praise God. To those who go with Jesus, amen. The end of those who refuse him is rather desolate, because God never sends anyone to hell. Hell is a terrible place. I don't know if you've ever read any accounts of people who have had the experience of, even for a short time, experiencing a little bit what hell is like, but it defies description. It's a horrible place, and God does not want anyone to go there. He created it for the disobedient and wicked and rebellious angels who turned against, who were disloyal against their love for God. They disobeyed. They followed Satan. That's whom God ordained hell for. He doesn't want a single person to go there. But he's given us free will, and we make the choice. We can either say yes to the Lord, even if we don't understand. I feel like I'm talking to someone today that you're not really certain. You know about Christ, but you're not really certain about this whole Christian walk. And my advice to you is, give the Lord a chance. Just as I prayed, I said, "God, if you're real, be real to me." That's the bottom line. It's not religion. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you come to know Jesus, Jesus said, "I've come to reveal the Father." So we can know God. We can have his blessings. We can have the riches of eternal life. It's put within the heart of man, a knowledge that somehow when we go to the grave, it's not all over, but it's only the beginning of the real life we were meant to have. And a time is coming in the future when Jesus will return at the sound of the trump. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and shall remain, we're all going to be changed. We're going to have a body like his glorious body. Oh, hallelujah, saints. I don't care what battles you're going through now. Let us encourage one another with these words. Praise God. Hallelujah. Fighting financial duress or sickness or illness. God didn't say you'd never get sick. He just said he'd be your healer. Praise God. So, my goodness, I just sort of got detoured there, but God is a good God. Let me go back now to where I was at. In verse 19, it is written, Paul is actually quoting, now again, I'm speaking out of the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. In verse 19, the word says, For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Paul is actually quoting Job, the 5th chapter, verse 13. In the New American Standard, it's translated, He catches the wise in their craftiness. He catches. That's the Greek there is a participle indicating the strong grip that God has on the slippery cleverness of the wicked. Doesn't matter how sly and slippery they are, God, they can't get out from God's hold. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And it's typical of the freedom with which Paul quotes from Psalm 94:11, The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity or a mere breath. However, wise, which he introduces in the place of man, is found in the context which is contrasting the designs of men with those of God. In verses 21 through 22, Paul states, All things are yours. Paul is saying the church leaders don't possess the Corinthian members. Rather, the Corinthians, the believer, possesses these servants of God. And not only those, but all things. That all things is neuter. All creatures of God without limit. Hallelujah. That's so exciting. You know, as you read the Old Testament, really the Levites were to serve the priesthood. And fivefold ministry are really the Levites, and they're to serve the kings and priests who are the believers. Praise God. God has given us all things, all, everything. Romans 8:32 declares, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Well, that's a marvelous verse to end the broadcast on. We'll continue on tomorrow. I invite you to be with us at the same time. The announcer is going to give you our mailing address. I look forward to receiving your letter. Let me know you're listening. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, May God's best forever be yours.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.